Bibles to Mark chapter 3. Mark chapter 3. I'm happy to say that what I'm going to be preaching about tonight is something that this church does not suffer from, in my opinion. I don't believe that the folks that I know that participate in the vast majority of things in this church suffer from the problem that we're going to be talking about tonight. But there's nothing wrong with talking about problems before you start to suffer them. Amen? There's nothing wrong with talking about things before they come. That way they don't come. We want to avoid these things because not very many times in the Bible do you see this special thing that I'm going to be speaking about tonight. I look at this verse and I look at this little passage here and I want to read it with you, and I bet you that you pick out what I'm going to talk about before I get to the end of it. So let's start to read. Let's all stand together one more time. It's 6:30. I will not try to keep you past 11 o'clock. Mark chapter 3 and verse 1. And he entered again into the synagogue, and there was a man there which had a withered hand. This is Jesus Christ entering in to the synagogue again, and there was a man there which had a withered hand. And they watched him whether he would heal him on the Sabbath day, that they might accuse him. And he saith unto the man which had the withered hand, stand forth. He saith unto them, is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath days, or to do evil, to save life, or to kill? But they held their peace. And when he had looked round about on them with anger, being grieved for the hardness of their hearts, he saith unto the man, stretch forth thine hand. And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored, whole as the other. Praise the Lord for him healing, still to this day healing folks. Brother Josh, could you lead us in prayer, please? Please, oh God. Yes. Yes. Amen. You may be seated. Again, thank you for coming tonight. I read this passage, and I don't know if you picked up on it, but here Jesus was angry. You don't see it very often in the Scripture where Jesus is angry. You don't see very often when the Savior of all men looks upon someone in anger. As I think about him walking the street and going to this synagogue that he went into, and it was again, so he went in there more than one time, I personally believe that Jesus did not go in there on accident. I don't believe Jesus ever had a time in his life, in his earthly ministry while he was here, that Jesus had any type of accidental meeting. I don't believe that he ever went anywhere by chance. I believe everywhere that Jesus went, he was supposed to go. He desired to go there, and he had a reason to go there. I believe that Jesus did exactly what he wanted to do, when he wanted to do it, all the times that he wanted to do it, and I don't believe there was any time that Jesus ever did anything by happenstance. As we look at this, we see a man that was there. Boy, how convenient. Jesus walks into this synagogue. He's in this place, and there's a man there with a withered hand. He knows that this man is in there. He made purpose to go into that place at this time. He knows it's the Sabbath day. By the way, don't get drawn in by the Sabbath day teaching. Don't have a lot of time to go into that tonight, but there were many different Sabbath days. It wasn't just the Saturday or just the first day of the week, Sunday, that some people try to make the Sabbath out to be. There were many Sabbath days in the Bible. Don't have time to teach all that right now. But understand this, it was a Sabbath day. The Bible says in the Old Testament, remember the Sabbath to keep it holy. A lot of the folks at this time were trying to arrest him, trying to get him in trouble, trying to see if we could get him to break the law, keeping an eye on him. All these wondrous things he was doing, instead of getting on board and loving Jesus Christ, they decided to go ahead and try to make a criminal out of him, or try to make him a wine bibber, or try to make make himself, well, he's sitting with the publicans. All this time they're trying to get Jesus to be somebody he was not and to make him out somebody that they would be better than, instead of just saying, you know what, Jesus is right, Jesus is great, we'll just go ahead and be with Jesus, amen. All across the country today, we've got that same, very same problem. Well, you love Jesus, well, Muhammad's better. Or you love Jesus, well, this is better. There's nothing better than Christ. There's nothing better than Jesus. There's nothing better than him who died for us. There's nothing better than him who rose again. Jesus is the greatest. Just believe that and go with him. We look at this verse here. And there was a man there which had a withered hand, and they watched him whether he would heal him on the Sabbath day. How dare you, Jesus? Can you imagine where a person's mind has to be that you better let him be sick for one more day? Think about that for a moment. If you were the one with the withered hand, if you were the one with the leprosy, if you were the one with the disease, wouldn't you want Jesus to go ahead and take care of that right now? Would it matter what day it was? I love the Message preacher preaches one more day with the frogs. Pharaoh says, you know what? I know the frogs are here. I know they're everywhere in my house. But you know what, Jesus? I'll take one more day in my sin. You just go away from me. It's amazing to me that people live their life waiting on Jesus to heal them, or waiting on Jesus to make a change in their life, or holding Jesus back from doing something special with them. This group of people are watching Jesus to see if they would act, if he would actually break the law that he made. Now, I'm not going to go into all those intricacies either, but do you see how absurd the thought process is behind these people? How would you feel if you were the one with the withered hand? Don't heal him today, it's against the law. How would you feel? Hey, buddy, I don't care what the law is, I want this gone. Amen? Look at this. He saith unto the man which had the withered hand, stand forth. Jesus come into this place on purpose, on time, to show them that he is God. Look at this. He saith unto them, is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath days? Is it ever against the law to do good? Can you come up with an answer that they could refute his testimony? Or to do evil, to save life, or to kill. But they held their peace. And when he had looked round about on them with anger. I got a couple of thoughts here. And I want to ask you some simple questions. Number one, you look at this passage, there was a man that needed help. Is that not true? When we go out to our everyday, and I'm so thankful that I don't believe our church suffers from this. I really don't. It bothers me, and I'll show you why Jesus was mad here in a moment. But it bothers me when we don't have compassion one for another. Let me say that again. It bothers me when we don't have compassion for one for another. And as these folks were here, and by the way, the only reason that they ever wanted to accuse Christ, and this is probably true with just about every aspect of humanity, the only reason that you want to tear somebody else down is to lift yourself up. That really is the only reason. If you're tearing somebody else down, it's because you're down where they are and you're trying to make them lower than you. And here's these men trying to accuse, watching Jesus. We've got to make sure we refute this man. If we can just get him to break the law, just get him to stand forward and do something against what he's been saying, we can get him entangled in his words, we can get him entangled in his deeds, and we can see how we can get him to be below us. Throughout all time, that's what they've wanted to do with Christ. As they looked on this man, and as you look on society today, Bethel, when you leave this building, please understand that there are hurt people out there. Please understand that there are people that need your Savior out there. Please understand, when you go to your place of business, when you go to your place of employ, when you go to Cracker Barrel, when you go to A&W, glory to God, that can't come back soon enough. When you go out in your everyday life, please understand that there are hurt people out there that need Christ today. I believe that we are agents of Jesus Christ. I believe when we got saved that Jesus Christ has made us part of His army. He desires us to do things for Him. And as we go out, I believe with all my heart, I believe Jesus makes appointments for us. I really do. What bothers me is how often I miss them. Stay with me. How often I miss the appointment with the one with the withered hand to tell him about my Lord. As I think about this statement, and I think about us, I'm so very thankful that in my opinion, we are a very compassionate church. In my opinion, if a church doesn't run a bus ministry, don't tell me about that church's compassion. Don't tell me you're compassionate if you're not willing to go out to the highway to the hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be full. I love the preachers. Well, bless God, you had 230 in attendance today, but 100 of them were kids. Do you know why 100 of them were kids? Because 100 of the adults didn't show. The Bible specifically tells us that, hey, we've got to go out and get them because the people that have been compelled and invited aren't coming. And by the way, I wouldn't give you a dime for a church that didn't have a bus ministry. I wouldn't give you a dime for a preacher that wouldn't work in the bus ministry. Amen. Don't tell me you've got compassion if you're not willing to go out and get those that need Jesus Christ. Amen. Don't tell me about your compassion. Don't tell me about your love. I'm so very thankful that I belong to a church that we have compassion for those that are sin sick. We have compassion for those that need Christ. We have compassion that those are on those that are hurting. We have compassion on those that need something from Him. And by the way, that's the only place we can go is straight to Him. But there are those that stand outside watching and waiting for us to fall. Craziest thing you ever want to hear. Well, bless God. Sure, they run their bus ministry and they do these things just so they can up their numbers. I can't stand numbers. I can't stand the numbers game. I'm going to tell you, if it was up to me, we'd have 200 people in every bus. Well, that's against the law. Amen. About time we broke some laws. As I look at these scriptures, I see Jesus making an appointment to go to a man that needed healing. By the way, I still believe that Jesus is making appointments today for us to meet with the sin sick. Number two, I noticed that the day was not convenient for the naysayers. I noticed the time was not convenient for them. I'm glad, in my opinion, we have a compassionate church. I believe, in my opinion, that if we knew that we were supposed to be somewhere for Jesus Christ, we would be there. I believe, as I look at this, there is never a convenient day for those that are out there to go soul winning. But let me tell you something, every day inside of here is convenient to go soul winning. I know we go soul winning on Saturdays, and by the way, I implore you to come. You not being here is discouraging. Well, I work, amen, so go on Friday. I do something then too, yeah, great, then do something on Thursday. Go out soul winning before church on Wednesday. Come to church on Wednesday. You know how many times there are that we can do something for Jesus Christ? How many people we come in contact with? I wonder if we would just ask the Lord to open up His appointment book and show us our upcoming appointments, if we'd be willing to make those appointments. I personally believe we are a church that if we would know that we're supposed to do it, I believe we would do it. Jesus makes a point to stop and see this man, not just to see him and heal him, but to also show those around him how you're supposed to be as a Christian. As we go out soul winning and we think about what's coming up in the near future and we think about what we can do to restructure our lives, we may have to reteach ourselves a little bit on how to express to people about Jesus Christ. We may have to retool ourselves a little bit, get a little bit more familiar with the Romans Road. We may have to speak when we're not really used to speaking. We have to become more extrovert instead of more introvert. We may have to make it a point in our lives to do things that we're not used to doing. Why? To show the folks out there that we have a Savior that's worth having. Amen. We may have to be those people, and as Jesus Christ got to this place and Jesus Christ brought this man forward to be healed, can I ask you a question? Was Jesus worried about healing this man and what the people might think? I'm not ashamed to say that the Lord healed our preacher. Not ashamed of it. It was not Robinson Memorial Hospital. It was not the drugs. It was not the anesthesia. It was nothing else but Jesus Christ. Not ashamed of that. I'm not ashamed to tell you that I was a dirty, rotten, sin-sick soul, 11 years old, and I got saved because of a wonderful, miraculous healing from Jesus Christ. I'm amazed that I watched Jesus. He's not worried what they're going to say. I'm so very thankful that we aren't worried about what people are going to say about us. Think about this for a minute. As you go out in your life, you know there's people that only you can talk to. Think about that for a minute. There's people that only you can talk to. There's people that only you can see. There's people that only you can get through to. It's your appointment. It's your job. It's your day to make it. And if you'll be there and make it, I promise you, Jesus Christ will use you. You say, well, I can't speak. It's okay. The Holy Spirit's going to do the speaking. I can't see my Bible too well. Don't worry. They make large print. Don't you worry about the things that you're, the logistical part of it. You just go. Christ will take care of the rest. I'm glad to be part of a church that cares about the sin sick. So if Jesus came today, right now, in person, walked through those back doors, and he looked around this room, how would he look? If you look at these verses and you see the attitude that Jesus has, the attitude of how he felt, if you look at verse 5, when he had looked round about on them, he looked with a certain countenance. By the way, how frightening would Jesus being mad? I don't even know what that would look like. But can you imagine Jesus being mad? I've seen preacher mad. A lot. You wouldn't think it because he's always nice to you. But there's been times that I've pushed his buttons. And I'm going to tell you, he pushes back. And as angry as he can get, how angry could Jesus get? If he would come down and stand in front and cast his eyes and his gaze upon this crowd tonight, I wonder how he would feel. I believe we've got compassion here. I really do. It makes my heart have great joy when I see teenagers and Colton up here singing. Are you a teenager still, Jared Lee? How old are you? Yes, you have graduated by a month. But it does my heart good to see young people up here praising the Lord. And I believe we have compassion to watch our young people praise the Lord. I believe we have compassion to have great Sunday school ministries. I believe we have compassion to run the buses. I believe we have all those things. But can I ask you something? If Jesus looked at you right now, how would he look at you? Would he have a countenance of joy? I looked at myself and I wondered, what would Jesus feel about me? Because what made him angry here? Maybe not about your service. Maybe not. Maybe not about how often you show up for church. Maybe not. That's not what he's mad about here. They were in church. Right? They were in church. They were in the synagogue. They were in church. Christ showed up at church. And here he is, and he looks upon them, and he has anger. Why does he have anger? If we read this, it says unto them, he saith, is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath days or to do evil? They were wondering, hey, Lord, I know you're going to heal this guy, but you're healing him on the wrong day. There's never a wrong day to heal somebody. There's never a wrong day to get saved. It's always today. To save life or to kill, but they held their peace. And when he had looked round about them with anger, not only was he angry, he was also grieved. Now, I want you to think with me for a moment before you condemn soul winning. I want you to think with me for a moment before you don't go to the track rack. I want you to think with me for a moment before you decide to do something else on a Saturday. I want you to think with me for a moment before you give that person a phone call and tell them all about Jesus Christ. I want you to think with me for a moment. If Jesus could look at you and Jesus could look at me, I wonder how he would look upon us. Would he look upon us with happiness? Would he look upon us with joy? Would he look upon us with contentment? Or would he look upon us with anger, being grieved for why? The hardness of their heart. See, the attitude or the thought process behind not doing something for Christ is not an attitude of laziness. It's not an attitude of discontent. It's an attitude of a hard heart. And as Jesus looked around the room, he could look in on their hearts and say, hey, you guys have hard hearts. Hard hearts for what? And if you think about what Jesus is saying here, you've got hard hearts and it's grieving me because I came down here for you. The hardened heart people, I came down here for you. Did Jesus Christ come down here for you? And if he came down here for you and he's given us this great thing to do and he looks around this room and sees these people that have hardened hearts that don't want somebody else to get healed. Well, wait a minute, preacher, there it is. Wait a minute, there it is. They have a desire so badly to denounce Christ that they're willing to say, I don't want this man to be healed. They have so much contempt for what we believe in and for what we do and the way we live our life. We don't want people to get healed and get a relationship with Christ. We just want that to go away. We want to denounce you. You know, I look at these verses and it worries me because I wonder if we're so content with the way we run church here. This is good enough. Now listen, I told you before, and I'm gonna stick with this. I don't want a new program in this church unless it's surrounded by soul winning. I don't want anything new in this church. We're not changing nothing. If you think we're going to change stuff around here, you're crazy. Whatever programs we have, just like preacher taught me, whatever programs we have, there better be souls being won. Why would we run the buses if people aren't getting saved? Why would we have vacation Bible school if people aren't getting saved? Why are we doing anything around here if people aren't getting saved? I worry and I worry and I worry. Why in the world aren't the baptistry waters moving? Why aren't these things happening? Because of the hardness of our hearts. I'm worried. What do we do on Saturdays that we can't come soul winning? What do we do on Saturdays that we can't think about people and give them a call? What do? It's the hardness of our hearts because we don't care enough about people going to hell. And the amen stopped. If he came down and looked today, what would he see? What would he care about? If he would look at us, what would he? Would he be grieved in his heart? All this I did for you. I love the fact that I belong to Bethel Baptist Church. What you got to understand is this. At least we have a day for soul winning. Think about that for a moment. I think about Akron Baptist Temple. We went and visited one time and I tell you what broke my heart quicker than anything else about Akron Baptist Temple was not the fact that they turned the platform into a stage and was not the fact that they turned the baptismal into a tidal pool, eat at Joe's with the cross. It was the fact that the parking lot was empty where there used to be buses. What happened? What happened? Fuel prices go too high? What happened? Did the bus kids break stuff? What happened? Their hearts got hard. Their hearts got hard. I don't know the history, but I would bet you with all my heart that they ran over 50 bus routes. I don't know, but I've seen pictures. And I guarantee there's over 50 buses there. I think about these churches that are out there today, and I'm so very thankful to be part of a church that at least has these programs available. And I'm so very excited to see our young people getting involved. I'm so very excited to know that our young people are running the bus routes. Well, most of them. I'm so very thankful to see that. Do you know why? Because this is the generation coming up that needs to care about that. This is the generation coming up. Brother Austin runs bus route. And I don't believe Brother Austin's ever going to complain about the fuel prices. Do you know why he's not going to complain about the fuel prices? Because he runs the bus route. There's a compassion in your heart that matters. And the compassion in our heart says we're going to come here real early in the morning before anyone else comes. We're going to run our bus route and sometimes to late at night. Because I'm telling you, they don't come back. You've already eaten and gone to your nap and the buses are rolling in. Why? Because they have compassion. They care. Their hearts aren't hardened. I believe if Jesus rode the bus with you in person, he would look around with great joy to see the compassion that we have. You know, it's wonderful that we still have an altar. If Jesus would walk in this room, you know, you have to have compassion to have an altar. Their hearts were hardened. The altar takes too much time. Their hearts are hardened. Nobody's coming anyhow. And may I help you a little bit? I know time is growing short, and I know that there's times that you just want to go home and get to your roast. But I got to be honest with you. I worry about the mind that trails off at the end of a service when the invitation time comes and they forget about what the Lord was dealing with in getting to this place just so they can get home and make sure they get fed. I worry about that. I worry about that because I don't want you to lose your compassion. I worry about that because I don't want you to come eventually to somebody and say, you know what, I don't even know why we have an altar call anymore. Because churches all across America are doing it today. Jesus made an appointment with this man. He made an appointment to go in there and see them. The people were there and couldn't wait to condemn what he was doing. Well, I got to be honest with you. I'm sure there's places all across America today that are condemning what we're doing here today, at least in their own work. We're always going to run the buses. Don't ever come to me and ask me to stop running the buses because I'm not doing it. You're going to have to fire me. Why? Because I don't ever want to lose the heart for bus kids. Don't ever ask me to stop having a teen class. Don't ever ask me to stop going on trips. Don't ever ask me to stop having a senior program. Don't ever ask me on any of those things because I want to have compassion. I want to have compassion. I want to have compassion for the people that Jesus Christ wants to bring in. I want to have compassion. I'm so very thankful to be part of a church that has the programs necessary to have compassion. I'm so very thankful that we're not worried about having a rock band up here or a coffee house out in the foyer. We're not worried about that. We're worried about people getting saved. And I'm telling you right now, that needs to be the forefront of our thinking, is to having people getting saved, having people getting baptized, having people get their lives right. Our forefront mind has to be the changed life. It's got to be the changed life. It can't be the beauty of the building. It can't be any of those extraneous things unless souls are at the middle of it. And as I look and see Jesus looking on them in anger, I wonder if he's thinking, I'm going to be going to the cross soon. Think about that for a minute. I'm going to the cross soon. And you people in here are going to end up in hell because of the hardness of your hearts. I want you to see some people here in this picture. He entered again in the synagogue, verse 1, and there was a man there, the sin-sick soul. That's why I liken this man too, the sin-sick soul. There was a man there. There's always going to be the sin-sick soul, always. There's always going to be the lost, always. We should always be able to have compassion until Jesus Christ comes. We should be able to have compassion for the lost. They'll always be here. Look at this now. And they watched him. There's always going to be watchers. There's always going to be these people that stand around as a gazing stock waiting for you to fail. You can't let that stop you. Did it stop Jesus here? You can't let the gazing stock stop you. Look at this now. Whether he would heal him on the Sabbath day or that he might accuse or that they might accuse him, there's always going to be your accusers. By the way, so far, these people off to the sideline, I very, very much question whether they ever got saved in their life or not. Whether they ever came to know the Jesus Christ that they got to be in the audience of personally. They got to see this great and wondrous Savior heal a man right in front of them. They got to watch him heal somebody, watch the withered hand be loosed. They got to watch Jesus heal somebody, yet they still stood there waiting to accuse the Savior that they might stop him from becoming greater than they. That's those people. And they're always going to be there. And what I guarantee you grieved Jesus Christ's heart was, I'm going to the cross and you're going to stand here and accuse me instead of getting on board and enjoying the life of a Christian. Oh, preacher, you can't run buses. He's heard it all throughout his ministry. You can't run buses. What happens if diesel goes to $8 a gallon? Then you're going to have to give more. Because we're going to run buses. Amen. Well, bless God, how in the world can we have an altar call? Everybody's got to be home at a certain time. Please don't ever tell me that. Amen. That'll make me go to 6 o'clock, I'm telling you right now. And he saith unto the man which had a withered hand, stand forth. There's always going to be the healed. I love this thought process because there's always going to be somebody that Jesus touched. Think about this crowd right here. I guarantee in your personal life, you could come up with a moment that Jesus Christ touched your life, that made a change in you, that made a difference in you. Those are the people which must pass that on to others. You must, because who else is going to do it? Is the gazing stock going to do it? No. Are the people around that are naysayers going to do it? No, they're not going to do it. You must do it. You must pass on that compassion that was shown to you. Jesus looked. And when he looked on us, I wonder what he sees. Jesus was angry. Is he angry with our efforts or is he angry with our hearts? Jesus was grieved. Is his heart grieved because our hearts are hard? But I'm glad about this and I'm all done. If you look at this picture again, and by the way, I'm going to tell you, I'm very thankful. I believe I belong to a compassionate church. I really do. I believe I belong to a fun church. I believe we have a great time here. I believe we have a church that preaches truth, no matter what the preacher is up here. I don't care which preacher it is. I believe every one of them preaches truth. I'm so very thankful we have a church that loves each other. I believe that with all my heart that we do. Could we get better at it? Yes. But I believe we really do love each other. I believe that with all my heart. I believe we could get better in all those things. Everybody can. But as you look at the last part of the scripture, if you look at the last part of this thing, through all those obstacles, because you're going to come up against obstacles. By the way, doors don't slam in your face that much. Quit using that as an excuse. There's going to be obstacles. There's going to be cold. There's going to be times that you can't do it. There's going to be times that the rain comes. There's going to be times when nobody gets saved. There's going to be times when you don't have a track on you. There's going to be all those times. What's amazing to me, as I look at Jesus Christ making an appointment to come to this place, he came to this place, he saw this man that had a withered hand. I believe that was an appointment that God had ordained beforehand, that he meets this man. All around him are naysayers. Couldn't wait to accuse him. And by the way, I bet you if they could have arrested him, they would have. But Jesus Christ wasn't going to get arrested that day. You saw that man waiting there to get healed. Jesus Christ comes up to him and says, stand forth. That man comes up. Now he's been made a public example. Now he's in front of the people. And Jesus Christ says, your hand is now going to be healed throughout all those things. Glory to God. No matter all the naysayers, no matter all the things that are against Jesus Christ and his work. Do you know something that you can get excited about? Throughout all these things, Jesus Christ still heals people. I don't care who's in the White House. I don't care about the politics. I don't care about the votes. I don't care about any of those things. Jesus Christ still heals people. And as I look at this, he was angered and grieved with the people that didn't want to take what he had to give. He was angered and grieved at church people. He was angered and grieved at people that should know better. You've got a sick one in your midst. Why aren't you doing something about it? Can I ask you a question? How'd you get saved? Think about your testimony for a moment. I thought about mine when I was doing this message. I thought about my testimony. The man that led me to Christ is not even serving God anymore. But I'm sure I'm glad he served God all the way up until then. Because throughout all those obstacles, do you know Jesus still healed? Throughout all those obstacles, Jesus saw a sin-sick soul of an 11-year-old little fat, pudgy kid. Fat and pudgy, that's a double fat. Extra husky. But I'm going to tell you right now, I might have walked in Lighthouse Baptist Church on Galena Street in the storefront, the old storefront, by the way. I'm of the old storefront. I'm not of the new library crowd. I'm of the old storefront. Thank you very much. The old storefront crowd. I walked in a lost soul. I walked out bound for the kingdom of glory. In your life, let me remind you that Jesus Christ is able to see you. I'm preaching to me as much as you. Remember this, Jesus Christ can see you. He's always in our midst. How does he look on you? What great gift have you been given? That great gift of salvation. We've got it all here at Bethel Baptist Church. We've got it all. You couldn't ask for anything more than what we have right here in the name of programs and everything else that you can invite somebody to come. You can get somebody saved. I'm telling you, there's nothing better that you could do. What's left? Your heart. That's what's left. Your heart. You're it. Just you. You can't look around the room and expect somebody else to take your place. It's just you. It's just me. And I'm going to tell you, I believe the Lord is well pleased with our efforts to this point. But Colton, do you think we could get better? Jared Lee, do you think we could get better? Kyle Greaves, could we get better? I'm just asking. I just asked the kids. I wonder if we could get better. I wonder if we could do more to have compassion on those that are lost. I wonder if we could remember what we went through and realize that Jesus Christ still heals. And I wonder if he would look on you with anger and grief, or he'd look on you with joy and happiness and be proud of what we've done. Because I'm telling you, Jesus still heals today, no matter what the world is. Don't use that as an excuse. No matter what it is, I don't care by the way if Supreme Court passes queer marriage. Christ still heals. Christ is still on the throne. You want that vote to get turned down? Get people saved. I'm going to tell you right now, don't worry about what the world's doing. Don't throw your hands up and say we can't do it. Don't get discouraged thinking it's too hard. Jesus Christ still heals, and we need to make sure we take him to the people. We take him to the people, there won't be seats in here on Sunday night. We can't take him to the people, there won't be seats in the choir. We take him to people, there won't be a place at the altar. We take him to the Jesus I know. The Jesus I know is worth serving. I'm so glad to be part of Bethel because I believe we've got it. But I believe we could do more. I believe we could do better. And I'm not looking around the room at somebody else. I'm looking in the mirror at me because I wonder what Jesus thinks of me. I wonder what he thinks of my efforts. I wonder what he thinks of what I've done. I wonder what he thinks about what I can do. Jesus looked on these people and he was angry. I don't know what that looks like, but I don't want him to look at me with those eyes. I don't want him to look at me that way. Are you going to do it right all the time? No. No, I know you won't. Neither will I. I just want to do better. I just want to do better. I worry because I'm not sure that when I go up to heaven, the Lord's going to look at me and say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. I think that's awfully high boasting of yourself. If you're willing to say, he's going to look at me and say, well done. But I'd like to do the best I can to change that. I wonder if we'll tell a soul about the Lord this week. I wonder if we'll do something so simple as pass out a tract to somebody. I wonder if we'll tell them about our Lord. Because the sick are out there. They're waiting for us. There's appointments being made right now that Jesus Christ is making for you. Will we make the appointments? Will we keep them? And then when we get there, are we going to go ahead and fit in with the crowd and not worry about the man getting healed? There's a lot of people going to be around you that won't like what you're doing. Can you imagine witnessing to somebody at a restaurant? Oh, my soul. All the people that are going to be there while you're witnessing to somebody at the restaurant. Oh, my soul. Well, you can't do this at a restaurant on the Sabbath. I'm going to tell you right now, I don't care what they say. That may be bold talk, but I'm going to tell you, we need to start telling people about Christ because there's somebody there that needs him. I wonder how he would look upon us. I believe we're doing a great job. I really do. But I just believe we need to do better Amen. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I thank you so much for this night. Lord, I thank you what you've done for us. And Lord, I'm so very, very thankful to be part of Bethel Baptist Church. For all the years that I've been here, we've had a wonderful compassion for the lost. We've had a care for the sin sick. Lord, we've done what I believe and what your Bible teaches us and what you teach us. Lord, I believe that we've done what you've asked us to do, but there's always things that we can do better. I believe we can do better on an individual basis, Lord. I believe it starts right here with me. Lord, I need to do better as an individual to tell people about you. Lord, I'm so very thankful that you continue to let us be on this earth and continue to have opportunities to have appointments with folks. And Lord, I hope and pray that we keep those appointments. I hope and pray we look for them. And Lord God, please put somebody in our paths, in our way, in our thoughts, in our minds, in our eyesight, Lord, that we can tell about you. Let us always have something ready to give to them, a tract or the Bible or whatever we can give to them. Lord, let us hide your word in our hearts so that we can go ahead and tell folks what we need to tell them about you. But Lord, let us understand there's always going to be somebody. There's always going to be opposition, but there's always going to be you healing them. Lord God, there's always going to be you. So Lord, please let us do our best to realize that we're supposed to do what you've asked us to do. Lord, how would you look on us? How would you look on us tonight? I don't believe you'd look on one person here with anger. I really don't, because I believe that we do what we're supposed to do. I just believe we could do it better. So before you look at us in anger, before your heart is grieved, let us make changes in our life to stave off that attitude. Let us do things in our life that'll soften our heart towards the lost, that'll soften our hearts towards those that need you. Lord, please, let us soften our hearts now so our hearts never become so hard that you look upon us with anger, that you look upon us with grief. Because, Lord, you're such a wonderful God, and you've been so good to us. With every head bowed and every eye closed, no one looking around, how many can say that they know 100% sure that if they were to die right now, they'd go straight to heaven to be with the Lord? Could you put your hand up real big and tall? Amen. I see all the hands in the room raised. I thank you so much for that. Would there be one? I'm just curious. Would there be one that would be willing to say, you know what, I really don't know. I don't know that if I died right now, I'd go to heaven, but I sure would like to know. Could you put your hand up real big and tall? Would there be one? I don't see any hands. Christian, I believe with all my heart that our time is growing short here. I believe with all my heart that it's nigh, it's now. I believe with all my heart that the vision that the preacher here had to do it one more time in Northeast Ohio, I believe it is here. And I believe you desire that out of this church. I believe the Lord wants us to do this. I believe the Lord is still as strong as he has ever been. And I believe the Lord can do great and wondrous miracles right here. But he's got to have people that make their appointments. He's got to have people that have compassionate hearts. He's got to have people that have softened hearts towards the lost. I believe we have that. But I believe we could be softer. I believe we could be better. I believe we could tell people more. Dear Jesus, please, I'm begging you. I'm begging you. Lord, do it one more time right here at Bethel Baptist Church. I'm not talking about to have multitudes of people. I'm talking about to having a sweeping change of hearts. A sweeping change of heart and hearts. The ones that don't believe you can do it anymore. Don't believe that you have that same power. Don't believe that you have that same agenda. Lord God, I believe your agenda hasn't changed one bit. Lord, help us to say the same as well. Help us to go out and tell more people about you. Just get better at it. And Lord, be with this invitation tonight. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.